Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking.
It is what it is.
Yo, yo, peace, peace, family. We back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Raiju.
Hotel for Barigani, Aslam Alaikum. This is Brother Manto, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds, back for another week, y'all. We in the building on this lovely Sunday evening, hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with y'all. We got a great show lined up, great topic lined up tonight. Before we get started, Queen Raiju and Brother Mufasa, how was y'all week? And do y'all got any announcements for us?
Yes, yes, yes. I had a great week. Thanks for asking. No major announcements. Just had a great show last night. Want to send a special shout out and a happy anniversary to the Isaac brothers. So want to do that. With they had a show here in St. Louis last night celebrating their 60th anniversary. So I want to give a shout out to them and many more.
Yes.
Also, I know last week we did discuss. I made an announcement last week about a particular battle that's coming up here tonight in St. Louis. Want to give a special shout out for that as well. It's going down tonight with just a little bit of an alteration. One of the guys on the card will not be able to appear tonight. However, the battle has been rescheduled for this one particular guy, but the other contestants are in the building. Here, the show will be going down. It will be a great show as well. So I just wanted to make that quick announcement. And
all right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. My brother Mufasa, how was your week, my brother? And do you got any announcements for us?
Yeah, it's been a busy week, y'all. I'm in preparation for Savior's Day, which is going down. Kicking off Thursday in Detroit. So if anybody's not familiar with what Savior's Day is, that is to commemorate the birthday of Master Farah Muhammad, a key influential person when it comes to the Nation of Islam. There would be no Nation of Islam if it wasn't for Master Farah Muhammad, who brought Islam from the east to the west. So we are preparing for Savior's Day. Like I said, in Detroit this weekend. Hopefully, I'll see you guys there. Anybody who's interested in attending, you can go to noi.org/SD Savior's Day 2020 and get some more information. You know, hopefully you can get out this weekend and check it out. So that's what your boy been on, preparing for Savior's Day.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. No doubt. And I do. Yeah, Savior's Day. That's next weekend, so this should be a beautiful event. I do have a shout out. I want to say a happy solar return and happy birthday to my brother, to our brother, Brother Mufasa Ra, celebrating a birthday, a solar return, another trip around the sun. You dig? So we just want to wish the brother, a prosperous year. And let this be, Allah bless you with the best year of your life this year. You dig what I'm saying? A shout out to our
brother. Oh, man.
Yes, indeed.
I'm so, hey, y'all know how to make a black man blush. I so appreciate that. Look, I've been so wrapped up in Savior's Day, I forgot about my birthday.
That's right. We ain't forgot about you, brother.
Rosie,
we ain't forgot. Yes, indeed. So, yep, that's the one announcement. Also, well, I ain't going to go into that. We're going to get right into the show, family. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. This is Collective Minds Radio. This is not a spectator sport. We value, you know, each one of the family's opinions, so definitely give us a call. Today's or tonight's show, we are talking about the documentary that dropped on Netflix by a brother named Abdul Rahman Muhammad, and it was entitled Who Killed Malcolm X? You know, we coming up on the, actually this month is the 55th anniversary. Malcolm X was shot, assassinated on February 21st, 1965 at the Autobahn Ballroom. So this month actually marks the 55th anniversary of his assassination. I'm hearing some background noise. Somebody over there shuffling and changing clothes or something over there. So yeah, no, they dropped a documentary on Netflix. A lot of people have been talking about it. I guess we could say it's controversial. It's a lot of stuff that was in the documentary that I learned. It's like a 5-part series, and the brother just kind of goes in and does investigation. You're right. 6-part series. He goes in, does an investigation about who actually killed Malcolm X. He pretty much focuses on that day, and then he kind of goes back, you know, a year later and, you know, talks about how, you know, Malcolm was in the Nation and his relationship with Elijah and the other members of the Nation. And it was a very good documentary, in my opinion. I learned, you know, a few things that I didn't know. So we're going to talk about that tonight. You know, who killed Malcolm X? What do you guys think? Have you seen the documentary? If not, you know, what have you been thinking all these years? Because there's been a lot of speculation about who actually killed Malcolm X. Now, the official story that we have on record is they arrested 3 people in the murder of Malcolm X. A guy named Talmadge Hyer, who actually admitted to it. There was another brother named Norman 3X Butler, who denied any involvement. And then there was a brother named Thomas 15X Johnson, who denied involvement. So there was 3 people involved. One person admitted to his involvement, and the 2 other people maintained their innocence, you know, to this day, and the other one up until his death. So with that, we go dive into it, you know, see what's going on, see what everybody thinks. And, you know, see if we can get some type of conclusion or what do we think happened to our great brother, you know, Malcolm X, El Haj Malik Shabazz. You dig? So give us a call, family, and let's talk about it. Let's get it. So, yeah, and like we always do on Collective Minds, we're going to defer to our queen, our resident queen, Queen Rigel, and let her go first. Did you watch the documentary? And I guess, you know, right now you just give us your overall thoughts on the documentary and, you know, and what you thought about it.
Okay. Yeah, I did. I did get a chance to watch it. I do want to go back and rewatch it, though, especially the last half of it. Well, maybe it's the last episode. And but I thought it was pretty interesting myself. I thought it was put together very well. I never heard of the young man who actually put it together. I can't speak to his credibility or anything like that, but I do think it was very informative and put together very well. And I found it to be very interesting. If I just go with the belief or the narrative that his information is accurate. It was very interesting And it just from even before this, I had a bit of an opinion, just an opinion, that I believe that it was more insight, which was I thought was, you know, unfortunate if that was the case. But I did believe that it was an inside job, you know, came from the nation. Watching the documentary didn't really help me change much, because also inside I feel like it was a collaboration though, you know, and watching the documentary it just kind of just made me feel even more stronger, or made my opinion just that stronger, that it was inside along with and some assistance with the FBI or the police officers, or however you want to describe them. It's like they kind of worked together to do it. It was interesting that I hate to see that someone can, you know, someone was locked up for the murder. Two guys that didn't have anything to do with it, and then it was another young man who the streets knew had done it or talked about. He was never investigated, and he eventually passed away without even, you know, doing any time or anything for what he did. Now, I don't think he was ever investigated. That just lead me to believe, if all that is accurate, that he was the one that was, they used him as the one to do it, and it's like, you know, you're going to be good. You know, you're good. Just do this for us, and you're good. And that's just kind of how it was. That's how it seemed to me. They set someone up. This is how it looked, according to the documentary. And they used this guy and a few others to either look like they did it, because we all know what Dick Gregory said. If we don't, Dick Gregory say even the ones that we believed or the ones that was in the forefront to believe that had done it really didn't do it, that the agents didn't even trust them. So it was really someone else that done it. But even though the faces of the particular black man that was in the forefront to do it, they just told him, hey, do this, and then we got you. Don't worry about it. You're going to be good. And it just seemed like that's just how it was, because they had all this information. They had been tapping Malcolm and Elijah. They've been tapping everybody for all this time, all these years. They got wiretaps. So they had conversation. They knew what was going to happen. They knew what was going to go down. On that same day, they didn't have any police around. So they just fell back. They just let it happen. And I think it was just all kind of orchestrated and just played out very well. I have other things to say, but I want to hear what you know, other people's thoughts about it. So I'll fall back and I'll just interject as the conversation, you know, go on.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, it was a lot of information dropped in this in the docuseries. You know, to say the least, a lot of information dropped. You know, some, like I say, a lot of things that I didn't know. That came to light that was pretty interesting. So, yeah, we're going to talk about it. Now, Brother Mufasa Ra, you know, we want to get your thoughts on it first. Did you see the documentary or the docuseries? And what were your overall thoughts on who killed Malcolm X?
Hey, and actually, before I go in on that, I want to give Raja an opportunity just to clarify some things for me. Because she used the terms they. And I just wanted to know who were you referring to when you said they, you know, like they fell back and they watched it happen. I just was curious of who you meant by they.
Well, when I'm saying they, since I believe it was inside job and also collaboration with the police or the FBI agency, I'm talking about both parties, but in particular the FBI agents and the police officers, because they were the ones that could have, you know, investigated and then locked you know, lock the guilty person up. But yeah, that's basically what I mean. I think that they fell back. The reason why when I'm saying they in regards to the nation is because they didn't speak up. They knew who actually done it and didn't speak up. They fell back. The police officers, when I say they fell back, they didn't investigate. They knew who done it as well, and they fell back. They didn't pursue it. Not correctly. They did pursue the wrong thing. They just pursued the case just to close it up. But they didn't, you know, they fell back in the sense that they didn't investigate it. They didn't need to. They really knew who done it. They were just closing the case, just to, you know, make the rest of society who was unfamiliar or that wasn't so deep in the loop, make them feel a little bit better. So that's what I mean.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, you know, I did watch it, and I'm not going to – I'll be transparent and honest. I wasn't going to watch it because people may know I've been boycotting Netflix for probably a year and a half now, ever since they didn't show Minister Farrakhan's documentary. So I hadn't been watching Netflix. But due to this situation and me being interested in, you know, what happened to Brother Malcolm, I did go ahead and watch this documentary. I thought it was put together well. I didn't see really any new information for me because I have been studying this up on my own for, I don't know, a year and a half or so. And so a lot of the information that was in the documentary, I was already aware of. And so I've always, you know, said that, not always, but within the past year or so, have been saying that, yeah, I believe that the government played the part in the assassination of Malcolm X. I know in my younger years, I wasn't so sure. I didn't know. One thing I did know was that a black person pulled the trigger. And it used to always bother me over all these years, like, man, how could a black person shoot a man that's fighting so hard for the liberation of black people? That was always my struggle from a young man up until, you know, like I say, a year and a half or so ago, was why would another black man pull the trigger on a black man of Malcolm X's stature, who was working so hard to liberate black people? So over time, as I've studied our people and studied people in general, you know, answers start coming to you that humans are very flawed. And jealousy, envy, all these type of emotional things, unrighteousness can make people do things that they shouldn't do. So I knew that, like I say, a black man pulled the trigger, and I was always bothered by that. Now, fast forwarding back up to this documentary, I want to say that any true follower of Elijah Muhammad, you know, Elijah man, I want to make sure I'm being careful with my words here. But Elijah Muhammad doesn't even tell his followers to carry guns. That's just facts. Members of the Nation of Islam don't even carry arms. So anyone who would pull the trigger on Malcolm at that time definitely was going against the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So that being said, even if that person was, even if that person was in the nation and was involved, they were definitely disobedient to Elijah Muhammad. So I look at it as the men who did that were already in violation for going against the messenger. And when you got an enemy like the government who's watching what the nation is doing, of course they're looking for any opportunity to intervene. They're looking for any opportunity to cause division, because Elijah Muhammad was raised in a mighty nation of black people. All you have to do is go back and do your research and look, and you can see what the Nation of Islam was accomplishing back in those years.
I'm talking businesses, banks, doing for self. Everything that Elijah Muhammad was saying, do for self, that's what the nation was on. So this ruffled the feathers of the government. So they were already looking for a way to intervene and get this guy out of here, because Malcolm, just like they said in the documentary, Malcolm was a very good speaker. He was a magnet to people. People was gravitating to him. So those people, who those black people who did it, were not following instructions of Elijah Muhammad. And I also want to say that when it comes to Malcolm X and what he did by disobeying a direct order by Elijah Muhammad, you know, a person of his stature, and as long as he's been with that nation, he knew better. He knew better. So I look at it as you crossed your teacher, you crossed your manager, your messenger, you were disobedient. And nobody wants to look at Brother Malcolm and say, Brother Malcolm made a mistake. If he hadn't have, you know, made a particular error by speaking on the subject, and I'm talking about the John F. Kennedy thing, if he just did exactly what his teacher and leader told him to do, none of this stuff would have spiraled out of control like it did. When you're in an organization, you're in a group, you're in an army, you're supposed to follow direction, follow instruction. When you don't follow instructions, bad things happen. And I love Brother Malcolm. Brother Malcolm was a great, I can't take away nothing from Brother Malcolm. He was one of the greatest men that ever lived. But he made a mistake in not obeying a specific direct order from his leader and the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And this spiraled out of control and spiraled into leading up to the events that led him up to being assassinated. So I know I went a little long-winded there, but to draw back a little bit, I watched the documentary. I thought it was very good. And it's good for people who haven't studied this stuff upon themselves, who haven't took the time to really put bits and pieces of this stuff together. So it is helpful and it's beneficial to sit back and watch it and learn a lot of the history of the nation and the rift between Malcolm and the nation and how the government was intervening and stuff the government was trying to do. So it was very informative, very informative. I think the brother did a good job with the documentary. So, you know, I'll stop right there and probably comment some more as we go on.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Right on, brother. If you're just joining this family, we are talking about the documentary that just dropped on Netflix this past week called Who Killed Malcolm X. A lot of information in there. We know out of the three people that were arrested for the assassination of Malcolm X, two of them denied any involvement, and the one that did admit to his involvement, he also said that they were that they had nothing to do with it. You know, there was no physical evidence that would support that they was even there. You know, it was just all basically hearsay, and they ended up you know, convicting those two brothers who denied any involvement. So what we can do now, let's go to the call lines, try to get a call or two, and then we can talk some more about, you know, the stuff that was in the documentary. I want to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Area code 314-381. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hey, y'all. What's going on?
Peace. What's
hey,
up?
Hey.
How's it going?
Hey, whatever happened to it is what it is?
It is what it is. Oh, that's still part of the, you know, that's still part
of the.
I don't
hear him no more. Who was that saying
that?
It
is
what
it is. That's our brother.
We
played that at the beginning.
We need that, man. Don't leave that out. That's like leaving out some of the spices.
It is what it is.
And curry chicken.
Yes, sir.
Don't leave that out. But let's talk about this.
Get into it. One thing I know you was around.
I don't patronize Netflix. Yep. Why?
Okay.
Susan Rice sits on the board, and I think the Obamas sit on the board. And
okay,
why would Muslims patronize when they were responsible for the demise of Gaddafi?
Okay.
So
now let's talk about the who killed Malcolm X.
Well, yeah, but
you
got to read between the lines. Read between the lines of what he's saying. He dropped some bombs right there. You just got to pick up on what he's saying.
Let's talk about that. Why come Malcolm X didn't have some security? Why come he didn't have no security at the lecture? His own security.
It is what it is.
Right. Now, according to the documentary, he did have a guy by the name of Gene Roberts, who was he was his bodyguard, and he was also an informant for the NYPD. And he was one of the only bodyguards that was with Malcolm at that time. Now, the other thing that they said, that there usually, when they have events at the Audubon Ballroom, there's usually at least 20 or so police that are around, you know, just kind of checking out and watching everything. But that night, there was only two police, and they didn't do security at the, they didn't have no security at the door.
Well, why would the police be protecting a quote unquote back during that time, a Negro lecture?
That's the thing.
And one who don't like the
why
police.
Would you have 20? I mean, for who's good? Here's another point. You know, we used to have African days in the park, in Fairgrounds Park. Early on, during the beginning of that, you had down there one police officer for every person that was there in attendance. Nah, they don't give a damn. They don't even show up at those events. The event out at Forest Park at the pavilion, I forget what they call it. It happens in May. Police don't be out there. They just let blacks, I mean, they don't got used to it, I guess.
Are you talking about the festival?
The festival, the African festival. Here's another point. What in the world would the FBI want to kill Malcolm X for? He wasn't no threat to them.
Oh, no, sir. That's not according to their own documents and according to J. Edgar Hoover. He was a huge threat to them, which is why between him and Martin, he was the first one to get killed. Oh, he was a threat, especially let me say this, especially the last year of his life when he started to travel to Africa and started to meet with these different heads of state and started to put the Black American agenda on a world stage. You see what I'm saying?
Well, here's
now, that
the point.
Is a threat.
Think
because
about
if America's preaching freedom and democracy and all this thing, but yet you're treating the so-called Negro, you're undermining the Negro in your own country, then that messes up your credibility on an international level. You dig what I'm saying?
Well, here's the thing.
So he was a threat. Yes, sir.
Here's the thing. Who did not know that already? It wasn't no surprise. It wasn't nothing kept from, quote-unquote, how Negroes were being treated in America. Look at what happened 20 or so odd years before that in Germany. Did not Hitler say the reason why come he treats his subjects like that? He got the idea for how blacks was being treated in America. So that wasn't nothing new. Now, this is me saying this. Another point. All blacks in America.
Do you believe that? Let me ask you this question really fast. Do you believe that the information that the FBI said when they said that he was a threat, did you believe that that's not true? Or you think they said it for another reason?
A threat how? Here's the reason why I'm coming.
Right now, at this point, I'm not at the point of how. I'm just saying that that's what was said. That was what they said. So do you believe that
where
that
did they say that?
They
true?
Were saying, but no, that was in one of the documents. They were saying he was a radical Negro that was a threat to national security based on the amount of black people that he can garner.
Listen, hang on for a second. Black Americans did not follow the nation. You had a handful of people. Well, I'll tell you what. Now, back during that time with Elijah Muhammad, it was probably at its peak, about 250,000 members. But as far as Malcolm X was concerned, Malcolm X was a breakaway, and he was he didn't have that type of following. All black, even when it was 250,000, all blacks did not adhere to Islam. Matter of fact, some of them detested. The religion in this country is Christianity. It is today with black people. Look at your Southern Baptists. And look at the documents like the Hate That Hate produced. They interviewed blacks, and they didn't want to have nothing to do with Malcolm X. But you had some people that did. So this day that he's supposed to be liberating were the people that followed him, and also maybe some of the ones that was in the organization. It was not all of black people. I mean, that's just a fact
We didn't say it was all. We didn't say it was all, but he was able to garner a lot of attention from black people. You don't have to get all. You just need a critical mass that's willing to listen and, you know, implement what you're saying, which, again, that's very dangerous. And he was about to he was going to form a coalition with the other Negro leaders, including Martin Luther King, you know, the Southern leadership or whatever. He was going to form a coalition with them. So that in itself
is
dangerous.
That's
just like saying Martin Luther King wasn't a threat to the government. And we know from, you know, from the court case his family had with the government, they were involved in his assassination. So,
well,
I
don't know about that. I never seen it. But here's the thing.
You heard about that court case, though, right?
Yeah, but black folks, what are they going to do, rise up against the government? You can't do that today.
No.
They got all kind of information on social media and so forth. I tell you what, when you had the riots in Chicago, you had blacks in Illinois National Guard that came out to those areas, and they used force to put it down. I tell you one person that was also in the National Guard, very famous football player, Gale Sayers, remember?
Yeah, I remember Gale says,
Well, I'm just trying to bring some sense and logic to the whole discussion.
Well, let me say this.
Let me get to this real quick. You know, what killed him was the inner fighting amongst that organization. That's what killed him. Those are the ones that killed him.
Okay, that's...
Let me add this, though,
to what you said a step ago before. Just to take it back one step though. If you know Elijah Muhammad was monitored by the government for years, wiretapped 24/7. But see the difference with what Elijah was doing and what Malcolm was doing, Elijah being a spiritual man who's trying to teach black people on a spiritual level on how to just do for self, Malcolm was on a radical tip. So what made Malcolm more dangerous is because Malcolm was more of a militant person than Elijah Muhammad was. Remember when the stuff that happened in California when the police shot that Muslim brother out there? Malcolm really wanted to get down and do something. Elijah told him no, not to do that. So that's what made him a bigger threat even than Elijah, because he was so radical, and the government was worried that him breaking away, and especially with his the way he spoke, his way he could carry himself, that he would militarize and nationalize more black people to move on his accord, to move how he wanted them to move.
And let me ask you something, stop
fighting.
What were they going to do?
Well,
now this was back in the
1960s. Think about that.
That was back in the 1960s. There was no gun control laws. People had a animosity against blacks more so than they do now. What were they gonna do?
Yeah. So if Malcolm could militarize these people and start making them radical and make black people lash out, black people could have caused a lot of damage.
Have you ever read the book Slaughter by Carol Dale? Slaughter is telling you about what went on at Camp Doran in Alabama, where 1,200 black soldiers armed with military weapons were slaughtered by the townspeople.
Right.
Brownsville, similar thing happened.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, I'm not saying that Malcolm would start this and win. See, that goes back to the wisdom of Elijah. That's why Elijah didn't want blacks to move that way, because of his wisdom. Now, I'm not saying that Malcolm was right there saying we're going to do some stuff and win, but no, it's just the fact that he could cause fires like that.
Let's look at another angle.
People would be affected by that, and the government didn't want that type of stuff to kick off. I mean, they want to keep people sleeping the slave.
Exactly.
Let's look at another angle. What happened to John Brown when he went to Frederick Douglass, talking about his raid on Harper's Ferry? Frederick Douglass said, "Go ahead on. I ain't getting involved in that."
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you know, in the art of war, there's a way to do things. You have battles. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's not everybody's fighting at the same time. Even during the Civil War, it's not like the whole country was fighting. You
what
have
were they
going to
have? Guerrilla
you
warfare?
Have different insurgents. I mean,
yeah,
you
but
do
what
were
they
you got to
have?
Do
guerrilla
at the time.
Warfare?
No,
let me
you
give
do
you
what
another,
you do at the time.
Let me give you another example. Look at the other organizations at that time. And one of them in particular, which was the biggest, was the Southern Christian Leadership
Conference. Right.
Led by, you know, Martin Luther King and all them, and Whitney Young, the brother of Andrew Young, who would go on to be, I think he was
the
Secretary of State. Yeah, he was the mayor of Atlanta. He was also
the mayor of Atlanta. Yeah.
Right. They didn't want to have nothing to do with black power. That was SNCC that started pushing black power at the time after the civil rights, after King got killed. Whitney Young and them didn't want to have anything to do with that. You know who else didn't? Was also supposedly been an FBI informant. Was Thurgood Marshall.
Okay.
So
all right.
When people hear these things, they have to look at the logic of that. Now, I ain't trying to persuade you to think otherwise. But I'm just throwing some things out there. It was a squabble between the internal orders of the group. That organization wanted to pull as many black folks as they possibly can, just like the Christians do. Going back in history, you look what the NAACP and the Boys at the time done to Marcus Garvey. FBI wasn't thinking nothing about Marcus Garvey. It was them.
No. That's not true.
It
that's not true. That's not true according to the FBI papers.
Hang on for a second.
Let's not go too far into that now.
Hang on for a second. What was it? It was the Boys that sick. Then the NAACP that sick the FBI on Marcus Garvey. What was he talking about? He was talking about taking black folks away. Who in the heck would fight against that?
Wait, let's not dive too deep into that.
Let this be the last question so we can get to the other callers. But go ahead, bro.
Is it safe to say, Brother Pianki, that you look at the people who shot Malcolm as just some breakaway radical Muslims who just happened to look up and
I'm saying it was some internal fighting. You see the same thing with Hubert Harrison when Booker T. Washington went against him to try to get him fired from his post office job.
Mm-hmm. Right, when I said Elijah Muhammad don't have his followers carrying guns, but are you just looking at it as those were some breakaway radical people? Or are you looking at it like Elijah caused this?
I think it was some internal conflict. They wanted to remove him.
All right, cool.
Because he was starting
indeed.
To pull people away from the main body.
Yes, indeed. Right. Okay, we're going to leave it right there. We appreciate it. We want to
I'm listening.
Right on, Ron. Appreciate you calling. Yes, indeed. Now, I want to put this out there, too, because if anybody looking for facts on, you know, the FBI and how they monitor black Americans, especially the so-called black leaders, there's a book called Racial Matters. the FBI secret file on Black America from 1960 to 1972 by Kenneth O'Reilly. And he documents specifically of how the FBI kept files on just average Black Americans all the way up to your Martin Luther Kings, your Malcolm X's, you know, your Robert Abernathy, like all these people had files on them who were in the so-called movement. So check out that book, and it documents very well, you know, the FBI's file on Black America. So, yeah, so for the caller to say that's not true, Malcolm X was definitely a threat. Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey, any of these leaders were threats to so-called national security, according to the FBI, their own papers. You know, but,
if they weren't threats, why tap their calls? Why even monitor them if they're not threats? Why even worry about? Why even care about what they do in their day to day and who they're talking
exactly.
to and what their plans are?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And getting back to the documentary. You know, in the last year of Malcolm's life, like I say, he was going around the world, specifically Africa, and Cambridge. He was going to like different heads of meeting with different heads of state, different presidents, different world leaders, and basically putting the case out there for Black Americans. And he ended up forming the Organization of Afro-American Unity after he had split from the Nation of Islam, which was kind of a throwback to Marcus Garvey organization that he had, because we got to remember that Malcolm's mother was a Garveyite and his dad was a Garveyite. His dad ended up dying while he was young, but his mother and father were both Garveyites, so that was kind of still in Malcolm, you dig what I'm saying, which was to unify and organize Black people around the globe, or African people around the diaspora. And he was attempting to do that with his organization that that he had formed after he had left the NOI. Right. So, yeah, we're going to leave it right there. Time just flying by. Let's get to the call lines and see what the family think. Let's hit the call line.
Okay. Area code 319-601. Calling you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, JFK were all definitely threats to the government. More so, Malcolm X. Malcolm X trouble came in when he spoke against Elijah Muhammad about the controversy involving the impregnation of the young Muslim girls. Now, when Malcolm
actually
X
go back further
religion,
than that, brother. Actually, go back further than that. Remember
I'm
John F. K.
About when it all hit the fan for Malcolm X is when he started exposing Elijah Muhammad for who he was. Now, I heard the brother say, "Well, when you disobey a direct order from your leader, then you suffer those consequences." Well, the problem is, when you're looking up to a leader who is supposed to be a spiritual, divine character and somebody to look up to, and he gets caught in some type of controversy of this nature, then your confidence about him will certainly fail, okay? And Malcolm X, his confidence failed by Elijah Muhammad's reactions. Now, his assassination was a mix of the nation working inside with the FBI, working with the CIA. See, y'all don't understand that they are masters of organizing plans. Whenever one of them political leaders get assassinated and you don't know who did it, it's the powers that be. It's point blank. There's no
exactly.
The three guys, notice how they had nothing to do with it. Notice how
exactly.
The white dude, they said, killed JFK. Notice he said, "I'm a patsy. They using me."
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
These people know how to mastermind these things, man. You know, this ain't
exactly.
it ain't a secret that all of this was in hand. Yes, the Nation of Islam helped the FBI it's all in together. Look, read through the lines. You know what I'm saying? And,
yes, indeed.
You know, Malcolm X broke away because he started to see the real deal. His eyes started to open. He hopped out of the matrix. He started to see, hey, black and white people can be together and worship the same Allah. You know, it ain't just for blacks. It's for everybody. When he start coming on a universal level, that hey, you know, it ain't separatism. We're all together. Let's live together in peace. When he got rid of the militant mentality, when he got rid of that, that's when, look, the most dangerous person to them is somebody that wants to change the world. Point blank. If you want to do good, you're not going to make it. If you can step on some toes and you're willing to mess people over, then you can be a president. It's like that.
Let me share something with you right quick. And I heard a passion in your voice, so just allow me a second to share something with you. And I want you to do some more research on this. It's like when I was saying that it started before that, when Malcolm spoke out against Kennedy being assassinated, and that's when he broke his first order, and he was suspended for these 90 days. Well, within that time, within those 90 days of him being suspended, Brother Malcolm wanted to come back in and make amends with Elijah. And when you say about these young girls that Malcolm come across, now let's think about this. You telling me Malcolm was in this organization for all these years, and all of a sudden he just now know he's the second man. You telling me that all of a sudden he just happened, and during his suspension of all times, during his suspension, that's when he all of a sudden found out, oh my God, Elijah Muhammad is having some extramarital affairs with some young women. Don't you think that he would know something like that, as he's the second man closest to Elijah Muhammad? Why would he just now see that during his suspension? Think about that.
If you got somebody that looks up to you and holds you on a level of high power over them, do you think you're going to let them know that you're doing messed up things? You're not going to let them know. Malcolm wasn't going to know at all.
See,
that wouldn't make any sense. He's not gonna.
So how
not he, gonna,
so how would he find
rent.
Out? As being suspended, though, that's what I'm trying to say. He was the second under Elijah. He was like a son to Elijah. He spent a lot of time with Elijah. So he would know them things then, even more so than being suspended. Because when he was suspended, he had no connection with the nation.
It's things that I do that I would never let my son know that I do. Okay, he never know. Okay, so it can be held from him. Second of all, okay, if you don't know what your old lady's doing, wait till her friends get mad at her. They gonna come and tell you. Just like when they seen the controversy between Malcolm and Elijah, that was the perfect time for them girls to tell Malcolm what was going on, because his eyes were now open. Now I can tell him.
I got one other thing for you, Colin. Hopefully you can call back next week with this information for me. I'm challenging you to call back next week with the names of those underage women that Elijah Muhammad slept with and impregnated. I'm challenging you to, you got a week to find those names of those women, and we'll talk more about it at that time. Please, I'm challenging you to do that for me.
I got your email. I'll email you their names tonight.
I appreciate that, brother. We'll talk then some more then. I'll email you back and forth.
All right. Yep. Thank you, brother.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it. If you're just joining us, family, we're having a great conversation. We are talking about the documentary, Who Killed Malcolm X? You know, it's been a lot said, a lot going on. That documentary dropped a lot of information as far as, you know, the killings and who actually pulled the trigger. Now, according to the documentary, they say the trigger or the fatal shot that killed him came from a shotgun. And what they're saying is, according to Talmadge Hayer, who actually admitted to his involvement, who was the one that got caught, and he said it was four other people. That was a Benjamin Thomas, a Leon Davis, and a Wilbert Kinley, and a William X. All of these people, according to Hayer, came from the New Jersey Mosque number 25, right? And this is what they're saying. And they're saying that the trigger man who actually pulled the shotgun is a gentleman by the name of William Bradley from Newark, New Jersey, from that particular mosque number 25. Now, according to the documentary, William Bradley, he changed his name to Al-Mustafa Shabazz, and he has a long rap sheet as far as there was a lot of things that he was charged with. I think he ended up going to jail in like the 80s, did some time, came out and opened up a boxing gym in Newark, New Jersey. And they say this man was, you know, involved in the community, had a boxing gym. A lot of people knew him. He was actually in one of Cory Booker's, who was running for president. He was the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, and he had a reelection campaign video which actually featured this guy, William Bradley, for a brief second in this commercial. So the man was known around Newark, New Jersey. They say a lot of people actually knew that he was the trigger man or the assassin of Malcolm X, but they just didn't speak about it. You know, it was just one of those unspoken things where people knew, but nobody ever said anything. And they say nobody never said anything because he was protected by the state. So it was some type of collaboration, from my understanding, between him or between that particular mosque and also the FBI. And because they had a lot of hate for Malcolm X for what he did as far as speaking against Elijah Muhammad, the FBI was able to come in and capitalize off that and basically, you know, get him assassinated while capitalizing on, you know, their hate for him, you know. And that was kind of the conclusion I got from the documentary. But, you know, I digress. We're coming down to the last 30 minutes. Do y'all want to get another call?
Yeah, let's do it, fam.
Okay, area code 319-572. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Area code 319-572. Okay, maybe just listening. Let's go with
yes, indeed.
Okay, area code 314-568. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
No, I'm just listening.
Yes, indeed. Yes, okay, indeed. Thanks. Peace, caller. Yeah, so now, just real quick, because another thing that I thought was interesting, because I kind of agree, you know, with the last caller, because I think the straw that broke the camel's back was Malcolm X talking about Elijah and, you know, him impregnating those young girls. I think the statement with Kennedy, that was just, you know, that was just something, that was just the starter. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
that was the beginning. But it did start there because that showed that Malcolm, I mean, that showed that he has human flaws. He knew that was a direct order. That was a direct order from your leader. Okay? He veered off.
Right.
He blatantly disobeyed a direct order from his leader. So that was the first.
Right.
That was the first thing that would show you right there that yes, this man is human that can makes mistakes as well. So then when we fast forward to the thing about the women, I mean, that definitely fueled the fire, because that's another thing. Why are you attacking the man that
basically put you on. I mean, I say it like that. He put you
right.
on. His teachings
right.
put you on.
Yeah, but like you said,
so you're
going
to come
like
out and blatantly attack him and he put you on? What was
he
doing
like
before
said,
this?
Yeah, and that's true, but like you said,
nothing.
Too, which is important and true, they are just human. I know some people don't think Elijah
right.
was really quite human, but they were just human. And I think they both was just very emotional about the situation, about the
right.
breakup, very emotional because,
right.
remember, Malcolm didn't make that comment about Elijah until they was putting him and his family out his house.
Right.
Well, out of Elijah's
right,
home
right.
that they got. So
right.
it was a battle there. So he didn't make that
yeah.
statement until things got a little more messy. And Elijah
mm-hmm.
was like, okay, you're not a part of the organization anymore. Now give me
so
my
we
house,
want the house
back.
Yeah.
Give me my
right.
house back. They fought that in court. That was messy.
Right. They
so
went to court, yeah.
and intertwined with all that messiness, that's when Malcolm, again,
death threats,
emotionally,
yeah.
you do,
right,
but,
and on top
but you
of
do
death
know,
threat, then emotionally. Hmm. But
I was
going to
say,
what.
But you do know that the house was meant, that the house was meant for a particular situation. The house wasn't
yeah,
meant for Malcolm X. The house was
I'm,
given
I'm,
to him because of the status
I,
that he had. So, of course,
yeah, I
so
I
don't, consider,
I
don't
already,
consider that being messy. I consider that being
well,
right and wrong. That's not messy. That's just a right and a wrong. You had a position.
Well,
the house came with the position. You no longer have the position. So, of course, you don't have the house. So it was messy on Malcolm's end. I don't take that as being
well,
messy on Elijah's
okay,
end.
Okay, the reason that I called it messy and the reason that I say and consider it messy is because it was like, just like, if that's the case, it was what was Malcolm said then. He was put out. Because at first, people were saying he wasn't put out. He left. So, no, if that's the case, he was put out like he said. Because when they took away the house, which, yes, it was Elijah's house. Yes, he can do whatever he want to do with it, whether it's a position or not. It's his house. So it don't matter what position comes with it. It's his house. He can do whatever he want to do with it. And that's what he chose
that's
to
right.
do because that was his right. So he said, you're not a part of the organization anymore. Basically, he put him out. Malcolm didn't leave. Malcolm was still
not
trying,
a part.
Like,
it's not a part of the organization. Not
well,
that he wasn't a part of the organization, but he wasn't the national speaker.
Okay.
He wasn't the,
okay,
the number two man.
Right. So, Elijah was like, you get out. This is my house. And like I said, it don't matter
right,
what
I mean,
position
do y'all
he
think,
is because it's his house. It don't. It, to me, I feel like it's his house. He can do whatever he want to do with it regardless. So
right,
he was
right.
wanting him out. I just think that the fact that he wanted him out and Malcolm knowing that, okay, you know my family here. You know my kids is here. You know I don't really have anything. I don't. And you obviously don't care about that. As close as I thought we were, you don't care about me. This is just human emotional things here. This is
right.
normal. I'm not saying Malcolm was right, but this is probably how he
right.
was feeling. So, of course, that becomes a tug of war there. Because he felt like,
right.
okay, you put me and my kids out on the street.
You know I
so
got a family,
right?
You putting us out.
Right,
yeah.
right. So that mm-hmm. became, that's why I said the messiness, because Elijah knew it too. And then instead of them coming and talking together, it don't apparently I didn't hear anything about them trying to come and talk together. I heard that Elijah didn't talk no more to Malcolm. He was basically had to go through these layers to get even messages to him that he might not have even
right.
received. So I didn't hear a conversation about,
I don't
okay,
believe
look,
he
Brother
did.
Malcolm, next month we're going to have to take the house. I need you and your family to make some arrangements. I didn't hear anything about that. It was like, you got to get out. So that's why I say it's messy, because it seems that it was done in a messy fashion. And they went to court, and when he lost, that's when Malcolm acted out again in emotions. Like you already said, he's human. So is Elijah. So I think that
right.
we're both acting out of their emotions. And Malcolm said what he said about the him impregnating the lady, the teenagers.
So you're saying Elijah acting out of emotion by saying you're not at this position anymore. And you've been at this house for umpteen upteen days, he's acting out of emotion by saying, I need the house back. That's being the
emotion. Yeah, I think so. I think so, because it wasn't
done in
fashion.
See, I would disagree.
I know, but I'm going to tell you why I said it, and you can tell me why you disagree. Again, if it wasn't, if Malcolm hadn't said what he said, and he just needed the house, I'm sure he would have done it differently. I'm sure he would have gave him an opportunity to be able to find a place from him for him and his family, versus just saying, okay, you got to get out. You know, we want you out. I want my house back.
Right.
He could, at this point, he's not talking to Elijah. He has no more communication with Elijah. That is a red flag there. He can't even talk to the man. So where is the information that says that, because if this had happened, it hadn't been publicized, that they had told Malcolm, and like, you know, I'm going to give you 90 days, you got to go, or whatever. It didn't seem like it was done that way. So to me, it seems emotional if he just like, okay, you got to go, without, you know, seeing if he going to, you know, have the proper place to go for his kids. That's why I was saying that.
Not to mention all that Malcolm did for the nation. We can't leave that out either, but go ahead, my brother.
Just to say one more thing on that situation. Now, I understand where you're coming from about, you know, putting his kids out in the street and blah, 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 that. I got you. But let's go back to when he made his comment about Kennedy. Elijah wasn't telling him not to make that statement just because I just don't want you to. Do you know how many lives Malcolm put in jeopardy by saying that? He put thousands of people's lives in jeopardy based on his comment disobeying Elijah Muhammad. He put many people's lives in jeopardy when all he had to do was follow the leadership and not speak on the subject. What was so hard about that? Obeying and
now let me say this.
Because I see people in America's army, you know, they follow that rule. What happened when they don't follow directions? What happened when they don't follow orders? It's something happens behind that. There's a response to that.
But what's the
difference between America's army and the black man's army? It's because a man get a spanking behind disobeying an order you're supposed to. It happens all the time.
Right.
If you're in the army and you disobey an order, something's supposed to happen to you. You know, he jeopardized a lot of people when he did that. That was dangerous for a lot of people, for thousands of people. Go ahead, bro.
No, I was going to say, if we look at the totality of what Malcolm said, we got to look at the entire thing. So, my point of view in Malcolm's defense,
he followed orders because he didn't ask the question at the end.
He asked him a question exactly. Now look, put it in context. Malcolm did not give an entire speech on the Kennedy assassination. He did a whole speech without even mentioning it, and then the person asked him a question at the end, and he responded. Mm-hmm. With the chickens come home to roost. So it wasn't like he did a whole speech on the assassination and he was talking about Kennedy and this and that. No, the man asked him a question and he responded with chickens come home to roost, and that was pretty much
y'all
it.
Y'all think
so
that was okay?
If you look at it in context.
Y'all think that was okay?
I mean,
and y'all think
I don't
okay.
think.
I don't think it. It's not.
I think
not,
he
it's
responded
not about
to the question.
It was, right, exactly. I don't. It ain't about me saying it's okay or not, but I don't think it was that he just necessarily disobeyed an order, because he did listen. His speech didn't have nothing to do with it. He just answered the question.
Exactly.
Now, maybe he should not have answered the question in that fashion.
Exactly.
But to me,
he just said no comment.
Yeah, so,
he just said
right,
no
yeah,
comment.
He could have. Okay, maybe he should. Okay,
but
he should have
done.
I'm okay with that. But that still don't change the fact that that was still overkill.
Yeah, based on the direction that he was given.
Are y'all looking at the magnitude of the situation, though?
I think y'all kind of just, the magnitude of that situation, we're talking about an American president that's assassinated. That's not no light thing. That's not
right,
nothing light.
But we,
you know,
also,
how many people that affected her? You know how many people was enraged over that? That wasn't nothing to take light. That's why he said, don't say nothing on it. Don't say nothing on it. Nothing means nothing.
Well, if we know how Malcolm is, and Malcolm
said, we're making these excuses for Malcolm. Go ahead, bro.
No, that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse. He said it's a case of chickens coming home to roost, and when the chickens come home to roost, whatever he said after that. But like I said, he was responding to a question, and I think he gave a fair answer based on. We know what that means, and even Professor Smalls broke this down, who was real close to Malcolm and ended up taking over the mosque after Malcolm left. But Professor Smalls said, we know where chickens homes coming, when chickens come home to roost, we know what that means. And in context, if you look at it, that's not a bad thing based on how America has treated a lot of, has done a lot of things around the world. And the people that you in bed with as far as the government, CIA, FBI, because we know they had their hands in Kennedy's death as well. So he's saying the same FBI, CIA that goes around the world killing, they've now come home and done the same thing to their president. That's facts. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see, like, that's
so
straight
like,
up facts.
So maybe I can put it to y'all like this. Because when you got someone like President Trump that just say off-the-cuff things like this, y'all say he's right or he going to lead us to war. He's being too this, too that. It's the same thing. That's why Elijah told him, don't speak on that. It equates to the same thing. That situation was a serious situation. And you saying America's chickens coming home the roof, that's ruffling feathers in a major way. You got people, you got brothers locked up in the penitentiary underneath the leadership, the watch of racist-ass police. You got radical people that would take that as the Nation of Islam is saying something bad about, you know, the president and the government at a sensitive time. That's the thing, at a sensitive time. People are at an emotional, you know, at a high emotional level. That was not the time to say anything on that, because you could have got a lot of people head bust over that situation, because they ain't just saying, oh, Malcolm X said. Malcolm X, the second leader of the Nation of Islam, said. He's attached to an organization. He's not just stepping out on his own making them comments. He's saying that. But
right,
saying
I understand
that.
That.
Puts everybody
well,
else in the same boat and boxes him.
And that's good. I understand it that way, because that's what I'm saying about a lot of things, especially when it comes to Trump, but even to just leave that alone. But he said what he said. I didn't say that he should have said it or not. He said it. And what happened, the result of that was Elijah told him to sit down. So how we get from there to now he can't talk to Elijah no more, and now they put him out. So it went from sitting down to now he can't talk to Elijah. Now he's put out for indefinite time. They don't know when. Now they can't. Now people talking about him and putting more layers and filters between him and Elijah to now get out my house and all. So yeah, that one thing caused that, because he said the chickens come home to roost, caused all of that, which I'm saying I don't think it should have caused all of that. I'm not saying nothing should have been done. I'm not saying he should not have been reprimanded, but I'm only going off of the documentary, and from the
right.
chain of events from the documentary, that I don't think all of that should have taken place, considering, like Brother Kevin said, all the things that Malcolm had done for the organization prior, and considering the relationship that they had. Okay, you reprimand your brother, your son, or however you look at him. Bam, sit him down. And then at some point, come back, talk to him, and have a conversation with him and chop it up then. But it's like, it just seemed like if I'm going to believe what this documentary said happened, right after that happened, he couldn't even talk to Elijah no more after that. He wrote letters trying to talk to the man. No response.
Yeah.
He tried to.
Yeah, I mean, and you saw.
He apologized.
And you saw why.
And
you saw why, because it's other ignorant people in the nation as well. You know what I'm saying? A lot of, I mean, you saw, we just speaking on the documentary. We're going to keep it on the documentary. You saw that how people, it was people in the nation that was already envious and jealous of Malcolm.
Right.
So when they saw opportunity to intercede and separate them, of course they leaped and reacted. But if Malcolm had not have done that to even start the ball to rolling, none of that stuff would have came to be. That's why I keep trying to make sure people understand the importance of that error. That was a major error. I just want to make sure people understand the significance of that one mistake.
But it did. Have caused all of it. Right, it did, but I'm saying
it would have. right.
But it did.
Because I think it would have been something else. Because like you said, Malcolm was getting big. A lot of people in the nation was jealous of him, didn't like him.
Exactly.
And I think if it would, they would say no. So I don't think, if it wasn't this, I think it would have been something else. Now I want to ask you this, my brother Mufasa.
Anyway, like
they was
going
to find something, right.
But that's a maybe.
So
that's a could be not, though.
Right.
Go ahead.
But let me ask you this, and I think I know your response, but I just want to ask to give you, you know, a chance to clarify. Because I was thinking about this, too. With the amount of people that was jealous and was hating on Malcolm because he was getting so big, he was getting popular, do you think it's possible that Elijah was getting jealous of Malcolm as well?
No.
Do you think? Okay. I kind of figured you would say that, but I wanted to
ask
you said
that
because
question. Ask me that question.
Do you think it's possible that Elijah could have been getting jealous of Malcolm? Is that a possibility?
Yes.
Queen Riser.
Yes. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I look forward to us doing the show on that.
And I want to know this. I'm curious to know this. Why didn't Elijah, if he was the man that said, I'm going to sit you down, why wasn't he the same man that would come to Malcolm after so long and say, let's talk? Why, even though Malcolm was trying to reach out to him and it was the layers that was supposedly preventing it, maybe they were, maybe they wasn't. Maybe he got some, maybe he didn't get any. Who knows? But why didn't Elijah go to him at some point? Well, Malcolm could have been like, yeah, I've been trying to reach out to you. Why didn't Elijah ever reach out to Malcolm until he got in touch with him when he wanted him to get out of their house? So why before that, the conversation, he couldn't reach out to him to actually talk to him versus his reaching out, the first time he reached out to him is, get out of my house.
Well, I can't speak on that.
That just don't seem cool.
Yeah, I can't say on that. And also, I'm not even really so sure that it went down exactly like, get out my house.
Like the documentary.
I don't think it went down exactly like that neither. But I can't speak on that.
Yeah, well, I think with him getting evicted, because we do know that he was getting eviction notice. So with him getting evicted and the death threats, I think that's when things kind of went off the rails, you know, when he started, and then he started talking about the ladies and the girls. And then now we also got to keep in mind, too, that in the Muhammad Speaks newspapers, they was doing cartoons about Malcolm. They was writing articles about Malcolm, you know, calling him a hypocrite, calling him this, calling him that. They had the cartoon with his head, with devil horns on his head and his head rolling around. You know what I'm saying? So it was little things like that that was also going on inside the nation that they were kind of stirring up some stuff, you know, stirring up that type of animosity.
Why were they calling him a hypocrite?
I mean, from based on the things that he was saying, you know, going against the man, you know, going against his former leader.
So was that true?
And a lot of people. Well, it depends on what side you're on. You know what I'm saying? I think it's true that I think Malcolm was. No, I'm gonna be honest. I think Malcolm was saying some of those things out of spite. I don't know if they were necessarily true, but I think I can understand where he was coming from, being emotional, death threats on his family, death threats on his life, and everything that was going on. I think he just kind of went off the rails a little bit and was saying some things that were may not necessarily true. That's my personal opinion. And like I said, although I can understand his emotional state at that time, but I think he may have said some things that were not necessarily true. You know, and that's, like I said, that's just my personal opinion. But I digress.
Well, when you do those things, hey, things come back at you. All I'm saying is you should follow rank and file. You should follow the leader that put you on. Why go against the leader that put you on?
Yeah, things come back at you, and sometimes when you go, like you said, and that's why, and because I agree with what you just said, Mufasa, that's why I'm like, yeah, he probably did have something to do with it, because like you said, he, when you go against your master, your leader, the person that put you on, how dare you?
Yeah.
You know, yeah,
right.
Something happens. Something does happen.
Yeah, you, I mean, and it don't have to be that person. Karma is a mug.
No,
it don't have
right.
to be
doesn't
that person
to,
you did wrong. It don't have to be that person you did wrong. But sometimes you can do some wrong to somebody, and a higher power will take, will put things into play and handle it for you. You don't have to. I'm sure you can. You know about that. I know about that. You don't have to do nothing to nobody. You can just sit back and watch what happens. Karma is a mug.
Yeah.
That's why you have to be careful.
Right.
But karma, and I agree with that, but it still seems to me that, and this is just my own way of thinking, because I get what you're saying, and I'm not, just for everybody that's listening, I'm not disagreeing with him on the karma aspect, because I do understand that. But nature don't need assistance from humans. He can have a heart attack, you know, a certain accident. He was targeted, you know. They came for him, whoever the people were. So they were sent by a human. That was the human's anger that was sent by him. He wasn't just driving and had a heart attack and drove off the road. Nah. That's nature, you know. But
yeah,
whereas
right.
this anger was coming from a human that was mad about
yeah.
him. They came and talked
right,
to
right,
him
right.
and went into his face.
Yeah, nature can use a human. Nature can use a human. And ain't
yeah,
it karma? Ain't it odd that the same people you fight to save?
Saying, where the anger come from? I'm
the
saying,
same
where,
people he fighting
who
to save.
Who was angry at him? I'm saying what if the anger? It wasn't like he was accidentally shot. So
the anger came from a lot of directions.
The intention to kill him was there from someone. He wasn't accidentally
shot.
Yeah,
it came
right.
from a lot of places.
Because we can't.
Even with
it
that,
came
I'm
from a lot of places.
Who was angry at him? Who
right.
was
and
him
we
now
it came from a lot of places. Y'all watched the documentary. Y'all saw what it is.
It did.
They used those people to do their will.
That's true.
They used
them.
Elijah didn't have to do none of that. Orchestrate none of that. That's why I was saying earlier, true followers of Elijah don't even carry guns. So we're trying to implement Elijah into something that don't have nothing to do with him. You missing the fact the people who was used to do this worked in cahoots with the government. If you was a true follower of Elijah and followed his instructions, you wouldn't even be carrying no gun anyway.
That's right, what I'm saying.
Remember,
so we need to stop confusing Elijah for something that he had no control over.
Right, but remember
that's why those men got off. That's exactly why those men got off. That's exactly why two registered members of the nation suffered for something that they had that they weren't even involved in. The one man who said he did it tried to tell them who else was involved, but they can't be touched. They can't be found. Come on, we see the feds have been monitoring these people for years, 24/7. You don't think they would have loved to implement Elijah Muhammad in the murder of Malcolm X?
They ought
right.
to.
Y'all don't
so,
think that?
Ought,
that would be
that,
killing two birds.
Him.
That would be taking down two.
This is why I might get my information.
That would be two birds with one stone.
They are implementing him. This is why it's.
Then
why he
didn't get incarcerated?
Why
he didn't get incarcerated?
The same reason why the other guy didn't get incarcerated. They made a deal.
Oh, so now you're saying Elijah made a deal with the feds.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just saying the feds use some rat snakes to do their bidding.
Well, look, but we do know, I mean, we got to keep in mind that they did come from a mosque. Now, here's my thing. This is what I want to believe. I don't
what
think.
What that mean? No.
I don't think. But no.
Like you,
listen to what I'm saying.
What
I don't think.
Said,
I don't
Lord.
Think. Listen. I don't think Elijah gave direct orders, but I also know that a man in that position who's beloved by these people and have these loyal followers, he doesn't have to give direct orders. He can insinuate some things. He can say some things without directly saying it. You can put things in your newspaper. You can just have that type of energy out there, and certain people are going to jump. And then you add that with the FBI and their monitoring of him and how they can use people to get things done. And it's just a recipe for disaster because Malcolm had a lot of enemies in the nation that was loyal to Elijah. So he wouldn't have
right.
to directly give the hit. He could say some things.
He directly said out his mouth.
He directly
said out his mouth not to touch him. That came directly out his mouth.
But he also
don't touch
said,
him. Leave him alone. But we not. But we gonna overlook that. But we gonna throw that away.
No, that's slick stuff.
No.
That's slick stuff.
That's not slick stuff. That's not
that
slick. What the government
stuff.
Did is slick.
But that doesn't. That doesn't.
What the
mean
government
much.
Did is
that
slick.
That doesn't mean much.
That's the slick stuff.
That public announcement.
It means a lot. It means
no,
a lot when you know what type of person you're dealing with.
No,
it means
mean
a lot.
That, okay, to you, but
right.
that doesn't. To me, that doesn't. Just because he said that, that doesn't mean that he still can't. Not only wish something bad would happen to Malcolm, but also imply out there so that something could happen to him. That doesn't mean that those things couldn't happen just because he said that. I mean, something.
Right.
That's because y'all can say these things.
No.
Y'all can say these things
no.
because you don't have a full understanding of who this man is. And I know y'all going to say,
yeah,
hey, that's just me. But when you have a full understanding of who this man is and what he meant to, and what he meant and what he tried to do for black people here in America, then you have a better understanding that he didn't have anything to do in sending hits for Malcolm X. When you know the full understanding of how he even put Malcolm on, you would understand that he didn't have nothing to do with that.
Okay, well then
let
me ask you this then. If this is the case, if he's this great guy, okay, the young man, now answer this question, true or false, because I don't remember. Those two men that say that they didn't have anything to do with it, they were registered members of the nation, right or wrong?
Yeah, that's what they were.
The one
that's
guy.
What they
that's
were. What the claim
yeah.
was.
Yes. Norman Butler.
Claim.
Norman Butler and Thomas Johnson. Norman 3X Butler and Thomas
okay.
15X
and one of them
Johnson.
Is still
yes.
living, right? One of them is still living.
No, I think they both did,
but they interviewed Norman Butler in the documentary. They interviewed
before he died. Okay. So
yeah,
when he was locked up and they knew that this man was innocent, why didn't they support his family? Why didn't they support his wife? Why didn't they support his children? Why would Elijah allow his family to suffer when he knew that it was an innocent man, a registered member of the nation, that was locked up for something that he did not do?
Let me ask you a question. Ask a question in return. How do we know that Elijah Muhammad knew that they didn't have anything to do with it?
Because, I'll tell you why, the same reason why we know today, this information was out there then. The guy who pulled the trigger had already said that they didn't do it. They said that they didn't do it. If they registered members of the nation and they followed orders, like you said, they love them and all that, and they followed direct orders from Elijah and all that, then he should know his people. And not only that, not only did the guy say that they didn't have nothing to do with it, and not only did they say that they didn't have nothing to do with it, there was no evidence of any kind.
Right.
The evidence that they did have,
except for
the
he say, she say,
didn't have nothing. The evidence that they did have only proved that they didn't have nothing to do with it, but it didn't matter. They still locked them up only because they just wanted to have them locked up because they didn't have no evidence to say that they had anything to do with it. In fact, the evidence
Let me say this real quick, Roger, because we run out of time. According to the documentary, the police had their ideas and their suspects, and the feds had their own separate people who they had ID. They were working separately. So the police was the ones that went off the he say she say. We got the descriptions of the other people from the FBI's accounts. The police didn't have records of that. And that was another thing the documentary brought up is why come that information that the feds had, why they didn't turn that over to the NYPD?
Right. Yeah.
We got like two minutes, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah, we got like 2 minutes. But man, this is a great conversation. I wish we can continue this on because I have a lot more, you know, questions and a lot more to say. The last thing I did think was interesting was just real quick because the NYPD was accusing Malcolm of bombing his own house. So a week before Malcolm got assassinated, they firebombed his house. They was accusing him of bombing his own house, which is crazy. But when they asked Elijah about Malcolm X accusing the nation of bombing it, he said it seems like he bombed his own house. Now, I thought that was interesting.
Yes.
For him to go with the same narrative that the NYPD is using, that this man would bomb his own house with his children in there. I found that very interesting. Yeah, that was on video of them asking that.
Yes.
So I found that very interesting. That he would go with that same narrative.
He was losing the house anyway. So he's like, I don't need it. I burn his mug down.
Right. All right. Well,
when Negroes get kicked out their house. What they do? They tear it up. I fix them. I steal the plumbing.
You don't believe that.
You got to
laugh at that
kids.
Exactly with your wife.
He was out of that home.
Yeah,
but he was leaving.
How y'all know he wasn't moving like that? You got to.
I'm just saying. How y'all know he wasn't moving like that? You probably was saying you ain't getting this house back. I'll burn it down. Boom.
Brother.
Burned it down.
Brother.
What make y'all think he couldn't be moving like that?
His wife could have been in on it.
She was in on it
because she was in the house when they called fire.
Right.
That kid. She ain't going to do no
thing. You can look at that woman's face and tell, come on, man.
We can look at her face.
Why
we can look at her face, but we can't look at Elijah's face.
We can look at her face and be and think she's so righteous, but we got to look at Elijah and see criminal intent. Come on now, y'all. I mean, y'all kind of
no, no, brother, no.
Why just not tear it up like you saying? Why just not do it?
Because he wanted to burn
it. Because
he may have wanted to burn that Joker down so nobody can use it.
Why wouldn't you burn it down when you're not there? If that's the case, it'd be more believable
so
if nobody was
use
in the house.
You know how Negro
no, it
think?
Would be more believable if nobody was in the house. And he and it burned down. Like they was out somewhere, and it burned down. Then
it's
you
more,
say, oh,
it's more believable that you.
Well,
in
how
there.
You go do it with your family in the house? Like, come
he
on,
because he did it. Because he threw it, and he knew where they was. He knew they was gonna be all right. Y'all stand right here. Watch this. Come on, let's get
bro.
Outside. I mean, y'all, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
No,
that ain't like that. Ain't
right.
a possibility.
You are just saying.
That ain't
anyway,
y'all saying that's not possible.
It's a possibility an alien could have dropped a firebomb in there. That's possible too.
That's
right?
a possibility.
I mean,
because that make everybody that look like that make it look like he innocent. Well, he really could have been burning that thing down. Elijah want me out this house, huh? All right, I got him. I'll burn this Joker down.
There's all kind of
possibilities. Yeah, it's all type of possibilities, but we went overtime today. You dig? So y'all want to wrap it up?
Okay.
No.
Thanks for tuming in, everybody.
Wrap it up. It's been a great show.
Yeah, we
thank
probably
you, thank
yeah
you.
We may have to do this again because there's so much more to say. And
so we just practicing.
We just practicing.
Yeah.
This not even the conversation. We just warming up.
Right.
So we ain't even got into it yet.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Sorry we didn't get back to the call line.
Yeah. Yeah. So just be on the lookout for part two. Well, we don't know if it's gonna be next week. We'll have to decide. And but you guys just tune in with us like you do every week, and we appreciate you very much.
Yes, indeed.
Tune in with us on Sundays. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it. And don't forget, you can always email us any show topics, ideas at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. Peace out. Have a great night.
Peace.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square. We on the earth. About to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point, call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things here.